On WIPR, we're on the record. I'm Sheila Cast. Good morning. It's been less than a month since Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. announced that his department no longer recommends that healthy kids and pregnant women be vaccinated against COVID-19.
I couldn't be more pleased to announce that as of today, the COVID vaccine for healthy children and healthy pregnant women has been removed from the CDC recommended immunization schedule.
Standing next to Kennedy as he announced the change were the head of the National Institutes of Health, which funds research on vaccines and other things, and the head of the Food and Drug Administration, which approves vaccines for safety and efficacy. But no one from the Centers for Disease Control, which has traditionally advised the secretary on vaccine policy. The turmoil has only accelerated as Kennedy last week fired the entire CDC Vaccine Advisory Committee and began restocking it with doctors, some of whom are skeptical of vaccines. This morning, we're touching base with a Maryland pediatrician who is an expert on vaccines and how they are regulated. Dr. James Campbell is interim division head of pediatric infectious disease and tropical pediatrics at the University of Maryland, where he's been a faculty member in the School of Medicine since 2001. He also directs the University of Maryland Baltimore's Clinical Research Training and Mentoring Program, and he is vice chair of the American Academy of Pediatrics Committee on Infectious Diseases. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Sheila. Thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
When you look at what's been going on at the CDC, what goes through your mind?
Well, you know, it's been a difficult couple of weeks for us. We, in the world of pediatric vaccine research and pediatrics in general, and through the American Academy of Pediatrics, work very closely with the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention on vaccine recommendations. Before 30 years ago, before 1995, there were multiple different vaccine recommendations, but the American Academy of Pediatrics and the CDC came together in 95 to say that we should unify those recommendations and that all the people who are experts should have a voice in trying to help to shape what is appropriate. And we're worried, we as pediatricians and who work in this world, that the structure of that process to try to carefully go through the science and come up with the best recommendations is kind of crumbling.
Well, before I ask you specifically about vaccines for kids and pregnant women, tell me what ACIP, the Advisory Committee on Immunization Policy, what is it supposed to do?
So it's an independent body. It's made up of people who are experts in the field of vaccine research, of immunology, which goes hand in hand with vaccines because it's our immune system that protects us from infection, with epidemiologists. Those are people who study public health and epidemics and how infections work and how protection works, et cetera. And they meet typically three times per year to review potential changes and updates to the policy on vaccine recommendations, both for children and for adults and for healthy people and for people who have underlying medical problems. So they don't work for the CDC. You know, they're not federal employees. They tend to be people that work in academic medicine or in public health. And then they volunteer their time to provide expertise to give recommendations to the U.S. government, to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, and the Health and Human Services Department to put forward American recommendations on vaccines.
They don't work for the government, but they are appointed as volunteers by the Secretary of Health.
Exactly right. They go through a process of being vetted to determine whether or not they meet requirements. Typically, people who are on the advisory committee are kind of veteran people within the community of researchers and public health officials that have worked on vaccines and understanding the science behind them, the implications of recommendations or the nuances of recommendations for vaccines. There's a process to review their CVs, their resumes, what work they've done before, and then to decide whether or not they would be the best people to represent the American public.
Well, as you know, Health Secretary Kennedy, in firing the previous ACIP members, all appointed during the Biden administration, described ACIP as having, quote, a history of conflicts of interest, persecution of dissidents, a lack of curiosity, and skewed science that has plagued the vaccine regulatory apparatus for decades, close quote. How does it look to you?
Those words are just not true. I think talking about conflicts of interest, there is a very lengthy process that every member of the ACIP has to go through to declare what types of potential conflicts they have or had. It's difficult to find people who are actually experts in the world of vaccines who don't have some association at some point in their careers with, for example, people who manufacture vaccines, because it's impossible to work in the field and be an expert if you haven't worked in the field.
I can understand that.
I think it's difficult to get down into the weeds of that, but those words are difficult to swallow for those of us who work in this world.
This is On the Record. I'm Sheila Cass speaking with Dr. James Campbell, professor of pediatrics at the University of Maryland School of Medicine, vice chair of the American Academy of Pediatrics Committee on Infectious Diseases, and co-leader of the National Infectious Disease Clinical Research Consortium. We're talking about national changes in vaccine recommendations. A point that Secretary Kennedy made in unrecommending COVID vaccines for kids and pregnant women was this.
Last year, the Biden administration urged healthy children to get yet another COVID shot despite the lack of any clinical data to support the repeat booster strategy in children.
Lack of any clinical data. Is that true?
No, it's not true. We here and many other people across the country were a part of performing the large clinical studies to prove that COVID vaccines were safe and effective in children. Now, those big early studies were done back when the pandemic was still raging, and subsequently, multiple studies have looked at, including every year since the pandemic has started, data on the effectiveness of the vaccine as the formulations have been changed, as the recommendations have been changed. It's impossible to go back to square one with every change in formulation, as may have been, implied as what should be done. We can't do placebo-controlled trials with every new formulation, because what we would have to do in that instance is ask families to enroll their children in a study that prevents them from getting what we know is a safe and effective vaccine. So instead, what we call observational studies are done, where you can look at those who were vaccinated and those who were unvaccinated, and what the proportion of each of those groups in the real world go on to have COVID, to get hospitalized with COVID, to go to the ICU with COVID. Every year since COVID started, those data have been available, and every year have shown effectiveness. So it's just not true that there are no data to support the continued use of COVID vaccines.
What is the impact of pulling the CDC's recommendation that most kids and pregnant women get a COVID booster shot?
Well, the announcement that was made was not exactly the same, if you will, as now what is written on the updated CDC schedule. So for children, the recommendation was downgraded, if you will, from what we would call a universal recommendation, that is all children who don't have some medical contraindication that they should receive the vaccine, to now what's called shared decision making. So that's a form of a recommendation where in consultation with your provider to decide whether or not the vaccine is right for your child. There's nothing written in those updated recommendations on the most vulnerable children. In other words, those who have high risk for having severe COVID, only just recommending individual conversations or what's called shared clinical decision making. For pregnant women, there's just no recommendations now. Previously, it was recommended that pregnant women get COVID vaccines, and now the schedule, that updated schedule, just leaves it silent on pregnant women. It just doesn't recommend or not recommend, no shared clinical decision making.
So will vaccines be available? Will insurance companies
pay for them? The vaccines are still available. Will insurance companies pay for them? That is an important question. Insurance companies have an obligation to pay for vaccines that are recommended by the ACIP. If they're not recommended by the ACIP, then they may not have that same sort of legal obligation to provide them. That doesn't mean that they will not be available, but it does put less teeth into, you know, the ability to hold insurance companies to make sure that all vaccines are available potentially goes away.
I want to make sure people know that the Maryland legislature passed and Governor Moore signed into law a bill that requires insurers to continue paying for vaccines that were on the list at the end of 2024. So we'll see if that is a protection. What is the significance of a vaccine policy that would not give the shot to healthy pregnant women? I mean, the implication is they'll be okay.
Right. So for pregnant women, when we recommend vaccines for them, in some instances, it's primarily for the health of the woman, because during pregnancy, sometimes women are more vulnerable to have more severe disease. In other instances, it's primarily for the protection of their baby, because vaccinating the mom can then lead to the immune response, those antibodies that the mother would make, to do two things. One, come across the placenta into the blood of the baby, and essentially it's like vaccinating the baby, but by giving the vaccine to the mom. And the other way is through the breast milk. So those antibodies come out in the breast milk. And for a number of vaccines, it's been shown that babies in those first months of life get very good protection by vaccinating mom. In this instance, the COVID vaccines, they do both. Pregnant women are at higher risk of being hospitalized. They're at higher risk of having what's called preeclampsia, which is a pretty severe problem where women's blood pressure goes up and often leads to preterm delivery. And other complications of pregnancy are higher if a woman gets COVID during pregnancy. So COVID vaccines have been shown to be safe and effective to prevent those things. So it protects the mom. And they've been shown that the antibodies pass through the placenta, that it come out in the breast milk, and that babies are protected in the first 6 months of life. We have no vaccine that is authorized or licensed before the age of 6 months for COVID for children. So the only way that they can get immunologic protection against COVID in the first 6 months is by their moms being vaccinated. So it has implications both for moms and for their babies.
Are pediatricians asking you about this situation, and what are you telling them?
Yes, pediatricians are asking every day, and families and parents. But what we're telling pediatricians now is that we still have a recommended vaccine schedule. The American Academy of Pediatrics has not changed their schedule, despite the fact that the CDC has started to change theirs. That we do not recommend any changes to what pediatricians provide or recommend for their patients, and that they continue to counsel families as they always have about the benefits of vaccines.
Dr. Campbell, I appreciate your talking to us. Thank you.
Thank you, Sheila.
Dr. James Campbell, acting head of Pediatric Infectious Disease and Tropical Pediatrics at the University of Maryland Medical School, is vice chair of the American Academy of Pediatrics Committee on Infectious Diseases, as well as vice chair of the National Infectious Diseases Clinical Research Consortium. At the On the Record page at WYPR.org, we have links to sites with vaccine information for parents. Short break now on the record. When we're back, a new exhibit at Make Studio. I'm Sheila Cass. Stay with us.